Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you as your people. We declare your wonderful works. We declare your faithfulness in our lives. Lord, we thank you even for this new month. This month, O God, we pray that rejoicing will be our daily experience in Jesus' name. Lord, give us a heart of worship, irrespective of what may be going on around us, O God. Plant our feet upon the rock, Jesus Christ. We become immovable in Jesus' name. Our joy, because the world did not give it, the world cannot take it, so we will stay rejoicing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Last week we started looking at the heart of worship. The heart of worship. And we took our text from the book of John. So let's open our Bible to the book of John, chapter 4. John 4, we are going to read from verse 19 to 24. John 4, 19 to 24. He said, "The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." A heart of worship. We said by this particular pronouncement, God transferred the position of the Ark of Covenant from a place to the hearts of men. We said we are a tripartite being, we are spirits, because like Father, like Son, God is a spirit, so we are spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. We said the reason why the worship that is of the heart is acceptable to God is because not only has the heart got passion, it's often a true reflection of our core values, genuineness, and things that we hold dear and of importance. We said materials from the heart, they are deeper, they are uncensored, and they are more authentic. We said the heart reflects devotion. That's why we say to people, you know, when you first met your husband, you say, "Oh, he stole my heart." You know, it's a reflection of devotion. And it signifies purity. Hence, we truly worship from the heart. And we practice religion with our intellect. And we said our intellect is the war zone, where everything, all the argument takes place, whether we should obey God, do what God tells us to do, or not, that's where all the debate takes place. That's why when you hear the word of God, you find out that immediately you hear the word, you really want to live like that, you want to do it. And then, by the time you leave the church, you begin to consider, okay, maybe I can just defy it. You know, your intellect starts to play games. Paul was saying that immediately he received the call. He said, I conferred not with man. He conferred with no one, and he just took off and he began to do what God asked him to do. Because when the word of God comes, it targets our heart receives it. Remember the parable of the sower. So your heart will be a good ground for the word in Jesus' name. We said there are things we need to do to transfer the word and the things of God into our heart. The things we need to do to transfer them from our intellect to our heart. We said, like driving, we need repetition. That's why the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And I told you that the Bible says, those who have ears, let them keep hearing. Those who have ears should do what? Keep hearing. Hear in the morning, hear in the afternoon, hear at night, just keep hearing the word of God. Hear what God is saying. So by, you know, you saturate your life with it. It becomes a part of you. And we said, the other thing we do is this. In order to transfer it to our heart, is to become doers. So that by the time you hear the word of God, either you read it, you hear in the church, you know, somebody preaches to you, immediately you hear, if your life does not yet line up in that particular area with that word, do it immediately. Don't wait and say, when the condition is better, when I finish this. Please, just do it immediately. Start to do it from that moment. You know, because 1 John chapter 3 verse 7 says, children, be not deceived. He that doeth righteousness is what? Is righteous. Only those that do righteousness are righteous. So just do it immediately. Because once you start to practice it, it becomes part of your life. And of course, we listed some areas we needed to act on immediately. Today, by the grace of God, we are just going to move on from there to look at the characters of the hearts of worship. The hearts of worship. Let's look at the characters of the hearts of worship. The heart of worship is ready to be purged. Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, in a great house, there are different kinds of vessels. He said, some vessel unto honor, some vessel unto dishonor. He said, vessels of gold, of silver, and of wood. And if you read that account very well in Timothy, he now goes ahead and says, if a man purge himself of all these things, he listed some of the things that are ungodly, and he said, if a man purges himself of all these things, he will become what? A vessel unto honor. In other words, no condition is permanent. Your current situation is not sealed. It's not fixed. He said, if a man will purge himself of all these things, he will become what? A vessel unto honor. So, a heart of worship wants to be purged. It seeks to be purged because all that the heart of worship wants to achieve is to please God. Let's look at Psalm 139 verse 29. When you see a heart that does not want to be purged, then it's not a heart of worship. A heart that maintains its ground in the face of the word of God when it's in contradiction of the word of God but maintains its ground, then it cannot be a heart of worship, because the heart of worship actually on its own seeks to be purged. Verse 23, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David was asking for a change of position. He said, "Father, continually search me. Look at what is not right in my life. Father, don't leave me there. Lead me in the way everlasting." That is the heart of worship. It's not it's not fixed on its own things and beliefs. It is moved by the revelation of the word of God. That is why we need to ask God to search us. And as God reveals his word to us, or God speaks his word to us, we need to change and be in line with the word of God. Search me. Try my heart. Because David just knew that the place, look, we were talking at the workers' meeting yesterday, we were talking about the difference between activities and service. He knows that we can engage in a lot of activities and not necessarily serve the Lord. That is why we want God to try us, see our hearts, purge it, make it whole, so that he can lead us in the way everlasting. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. He says, "He will see it as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the priest." Who will he purify? The priests. He will see it as a refiner. How many of us have ever seen a goldsmith at work? Goldsmith. I've seen one. Have you ever seen them? Oh, yes. What do they do with the gold? They put it in like a bowl, put it in fire, and you see the whole thing will be glowing, will just be, you know, becomes hot until all the impurities begin to burn and separate from the gold. He said, God is the refiner. He said, he will see it as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the priests, the sons of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord offerings in what? In righteousness. Your offering will be in righteousness in Jesus' name. He is a purifier. That is why when we come, we'll come to church like this, we'll hear the word. Our desire is that we have a balanced diet in this place. You don't just come here and I preach, okay, oh, there's hellfire, there's judgment, there's this. We also have to tell you the good things in the kingdom. That's why we are looking at, you know, money and wealth in the life of the Christian this morning. Because it has to be balanced. It has to be right. We have to know all the provisions in the kingdom. Part of the provisions in the kingdom is that God is ready to purify us if we are willing. Because if any man purge himself of all these things, he shall be made a vessel unto honor. Because our offering, our worship has to be in righteousness. He says, so that the children of Levi may be able to offer their offering in righteousness. A heart of worship must be ready to endure loneliness. A heart of worship must be ready to endure loneliness. And I think this is one area that we really need to work on. I've said to us, as we serve God, it's so wonderful when we come together like this, when we sing praise and glorify the name of the Lord, particularly when you have a full church. You know, it's often different because there are so many voices lifted up to God. It's so great. But beyond that, we must have that personal relationship as an act of worship, honestly, that when no one else is there, we can continue doing the same thing. until we get to that point, then we haven't started. You must be ready to endure loneliness. In Luke chapter 6 verse 12, Jesus went alone to pray. There were many times that Jesus had to leave his disciples to do what? To pray and be in the presence of his Father. He would pray all night long. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14 to 17. 2 Timothy 4, 14 to 17. You must be ready to endure loneliness. Oh, that is why serving God is not based on public opinion. A lot of people are not well grounded in their understanding of God. That's why when they come to a new environment like this, they fall away because they never knew God in the first place. If truly you knew God, you would not come to this place and stop serving him the way you used to. He says, ministers, flames of fire going from glory to glory, not going from glory to disgrace. You'll be moving from glory to glory. It should be an upward thing. So if you are praying 30 minutes before, you are now praying 1 hour in his presence. If you used to fast one day in a year before, you now fast at least monthly. We should be moving up. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 to 17. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou were also, for he had greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. That was the experience of Paul. Things happened that he was abandoned. He felt abandoned. He felt lonely. So it's not that you won't feel lonely. You are going to feel lonely. But he made it. He proposed in himself and said, look, I have the responsibility. If you look at the last verse, I have the responsibility, you know, to make the preaching of the gospel known to people. I've been saying it until you serve God to the point that people are saying, what's your own? Then you haven't started. If you are the type who is always looking for a consensus to be able to pray, consensus to be able to do things for God, consensus to be able to, then you haven't started. It's so wonderful to have a lot of people agree with you to do the things of God. But then you have to come to a point that you are willing to go it alone. When you become committed to God to that extent, you will lack all form of hesitation and lukewarmness. Stop debating it. If everyone should forsake you, will you continue to serve God? Everyone that has pleased God, please him because they were willing to go alone. Check very well in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 8, God asked Abraham to go and sacrifice his son, Isaac. Abraham took his servant and the child with him. The Bible said they walked for about 3 days, so they must have covered great distance. But when the crux of the matter came, what happened? He asked those people to stay. He took Isaac by himself and he walked a distance in order to worship his God. And God intervened. What about Jesus when he was to go on the cross? How many people were in the Garden of Gethsemane with him? How many? He was the only one sweating it out. He came back, his disciples were sleeping. The disciples were fast asleep. He said, can't you watch for 1 hour? He went back again. You hope that you will think that they've had his instruction. Probably they were not used to praying. He came back again. They were still sleeping. He said, can't you watch with me? And of course, they are saying, is your load, or carry it yourself. Is your load. I was not sent to die for the world. You are sent to die for the world. And he carried it. But let me tell you something. When these people encountered the Holy Spirit, something happened. Paul, as I was telling the workers, was actually told by Prophet Agabus that you, if you go to Jerusalem, you are going to be bound. He said, what is that word? What is that word you said? He said, bound. Say it again. He said, bound. He said, not only bound. I'm going there. I'm ready to die. And he went. He was willing to go it alone. Praise the Lord. What about Daniel? What about Daniel? If we were the one who was told, because the only way they could find fault with him was to, you know, in the area of his prayer life. They told the king, just ask that nobody prays. He went and opened the window so they could see, and he prayed. God will showcase your life in Jesus' name. Even as a church, do we have to be like other churches? You know, somebody asked a very important question this morning in terms of money and what the way people have displayed money and misplaced priorities. But we cannot say because some people have misused it. You know, and that's why I keep telling people, I say, look, some people will say, the reason I don't come to church is because there's so much hypocrisy, there's terrible things that people are doing in the church. And I said to them, I said, come, if you are such a good Christian, go to the church and show them example how to do it very well. It's not a reason to run away. Come to the church. Show people, if others have not been doing well, now you start to do it very well so we can learn from you. The riches of the world, God will release it to you. Show the world an example of how to use riches. Show the world. But like I told you earlier on, it starts from how you use the little that you've got. For some people, where you say, let's give to the things of God, they know that this thing will cost $20,000, or they will say, let everybody contribute $25. Where do you think the money will come from? The whole reason why God gave you is because he wants you to put it towards his work. In Proverbs, the Bible says, if the Bible talks about the man who has the riches of this world, and his brother comes hungry, and he says, go and come back again. When you have it within you, in your pocket, show the world how to use it. So we don't have to be like everyone else. We can be different. Acts chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Let look at that very interesting story. We can be different. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Who spoke to them? Eh? Who spoke to the apostles? The chief priests and the elders. They were the ones, the people who managed the synagogues, the temples. They told them, they threatened them not to preach by the name of Jesus anymore. Verse 24 says, and when they heard that is when they came back to report to the others in the church, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. What did they do? They praised God. When somebody said, stop preaching the gospel, stop doing this, stop going around turning the world upside down, this is a strange name, this is a strange doctrine, this is not what we are used to, stop saying it. They were threatened. They went back home and told the others, and the others started praising God and rejoicing because they know that they are having impact. Your life will have impact in Jesus' name. Let me tell you what the late Kenneth E. Hagin said about this particular scripture. He said, if it's the Christian of today, he said, they will say, let us form a committee. Let's form a committee. Let the committee go and approach the elders and the priest. After all, we worship the same God. Let's negotiate with them. Am I right? Is that not what we would do? Follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men. I will follow peace with you to the extent that you are not going to stop me from worshiping God. He just said, no. We'll say, follow people. Let's just raise a committee. Let's go and negotiate. You know, after all, they are worshiping God too. I mean, they are not calling on the devil. But these people knew that things have changed. The dispensation of the grace of God was upon the earth, and these people have not perceived it. They worshiped God. They praised Him. They saw it. Instead of being an obstacle, they knew that it was a reason to continue. Because when your breakthrough is about to come, the enemy will flex his muscles. It gets tougher to get better. Have you noticed that? It gets tougher to get better. The whole thing will look like it's going to collapse. The whole place will be, there will be pandemonium. In fact, there's a Yoruba word for it. Apology to those of us who are not here. There was a movie that they used to do. They call it Arelu. One thing after the other will start to happen. You think the end of the world has come. The end hasn't come. The power of God is just erupting. Praise the Lord. That is why somebody is going to be victorious in the house this morning in Jesus' name. And of course, if you have to endure that kind of loneliness, also be ready to endure hardship. That's the heart of worship. Be ready to endure hardship. Because the kingdom of darkness will not watch you. They are not just going to say, don't preach that word. Don't say that. There will be moves to stop you. And don't be naive enough to think that the devil will come and appear to you with horns on his head and say, I don't want you to worship. That's not what he's going to do. He's going to send people your way who will become distractions. He's going to send pleasure to you that after you have eaten and you are satisfied, you begin to ask. You know, I was listening to BBC, the program in BBC, not long ago on the radio, and as I was driving back from work, they were talking about the people who have ruled in Britain. I think there, when they talk about public school there, it's the opposite of what we call private school here. Or is that not the, you know? Anyway, they find out that most of the people who have ruled there have been people who have been to equivalent of private schools. Who are connected, well connected. Over time, it just becomes a tradition. And they said, look, these people have taken it for granted that by virtue of the fact that they attended this school, it's an automatic thing for them to rule. They started listing their names and the schools that they went to. That is what happens. When we become, you know, we then become complacent, we think that we just, you see, and some people were, they started saying, look, these people are privileged. Privileged to have been in that school, and that set them up to be where they are. But they will not see it that way. They will think that they are smarter than the other people in town. They will think that it's just by grace that God has set it that you are there. After some time, you just take it for granted that I'm smarter than, you know, all those people. They don't know my worth. If only they know my worth. You know, if they know how much I've achieved, you know, everybody will bow now. You know, what have you achieved? No, I'm telling you, it's by divine orchestration that you find yourself where you are now. I told people, I'm not the most brilliant doctor in Nigeria. It's just by divine orchestration, you will be in the right place at the right time. I did not even apply to come to Australia, if you want to know. You know, I've been telling you how I didn't write for application. I was just sitting jeje in my office, and somebody called me and said, do you want to go to Australia? And I said, yes, sir. He said, bring your CV. And I brought my CV, and they called me to come to Australia. At the same time, I was called to go to, the UK. I got, they used to call it overseas doctor's training scheme. I was taken there. I was sitting. That's why, me too, if I can, I help people. Because I was just sitting down there. I didn't apply to come. They pay my air ticket, they paid for me, they did everything for me to come. Just by divine orchestration. So why will I be proud? What have I got? Praise the Lord. Be ready to endure hardship also. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Christianity of convenience. I've told you, if you only worship God when it is convenient for you, then it's not coming from the heart yet. It's not coming from the heart yet. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In fact, another version says, he said, take with me your share of the hardships and suffering which you are called to endure as a good first class soldier of Christ Jesus. So you have your own share. Praise the Lord. Take with you your share of hardship. Be ready to endure for the gospel's sake. Until you get to that point, you haven't started. Be ready to endure it. See it as an emblem. You know, some people say, I don't want people to talk about me. I don't want people to mention my name. You don't want people to mention your name. You don't want people to talk about you. But you want the glory of God to alight upon you. It doesn't come free of charge. As we saw yesterday, you know, everyone that God has promoted has sown a seed in the kingdom. You sow a seed. Because when the book of remembrance is opened, if they open the book of remembrance and under your name it is empty, what would they reward you for? Every soldier, I see people under DVA. I see people who have been to war. You see all sorts of injuries. Can you be at war and not sustain injury? Even if you don't sustain physical injury, you will sustain psychological injury. Except the individual is a sociopath, an antisocial personality. If you see people dead in front of you, people whose deaths have been severe, people who have been killed in terrible ways, people who have been maimed, can you be the same again? You cannot be the same again. Those are the marks of being at war. It's the same thing with the Christian race. You cannot be at war and your body will be smooth. When people don't talk about you, then you are dog bossing. Praise the Lord. Then you are not a good soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 5. Let's read. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 5. Again, he said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He said, as for you, be calm and cool and steady. Accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. Fully. Don't let anyone stop you from performing it. Suffer what? Affliction. That's the heart of worship. Why is that? Because you have given yourself away. Because Paul was saying, he said, as for me that you see, I am already dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Yet, I live. The life that I now live is what? Is the life of the Son of God. How can you deprive Jesus of his life that is borrowed and is in you? If truly your life is no longer your life, you cannot deprive the owner of that life. One of our sisters went to Nigeria of recent in the church. She was in Nigeria. I think my wife asked her to buy, those magazines where you have all those beautiful dresses for ladies, I was there yesterday or so. I think she wanted to look at one style there. She asked my wife for a copy of that. And my wife said, no. Jokingly, of course. Said no. I said, but I brought it from Nigeria. How can you deprive me of it? Praise the Lord. And I said, how can it be? If the life of Christ is in you, you cannot deprive Christ of that life that is in you. It will be spent in his service. That's the heart of worship. Hebrews 10:36 also says, he said, you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You have need of what? Endurance or patience. So that after you... So he's saying it's not enough to do the will of God. It's not just enough to do what? To do the will of God. You need endurance. That after you have done the will of God, you may then have what? The promise. Abraham, he had to wait for 25 years. Somebody will receive the promise of God today in Jesus' name. Job 13:15. He said, though he slay me, I will still trust him. In another place, he said, I will still praise him. I will still worship him, irrespective of what is going on around me. I will still trust him. Job 14:14. He said, if a man die, shall he live again? He said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. In Amplified Version, he says, the days of my warfare, the days of my suffering, he said, I will wait, I will go through them till my change come. Somebody's change will come today in Jesus' name. I said, somebody's change will come for the better in the mighty name of Jesus. The afflictions of now is a temporary thing. It may look like things have not lined up yet for your promotion. It may look like things have not lined up yet for your upliftment. You wait. He said, I will wait. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. In other words, hope, hope, hope. How can I lose hope? I pray that somebody's hope will be rekindled today in Jesus' name. A heart of worship is liberated to worship, and at the same time, it's humble. Your liberation is for your worship. He said, let my people go that they may do what? That they may serve me. Some people, God liberated you from poverty so that you can serve him. God liberated you from that sickness so that you can serve him. God liberated you. You know, I keep telling people, I said, look, the reason God took me away from Nigeria is this. He knows that I'm not wise enough to do some of the things that people do in order to survive. I'm not wise enough. I don't have that wisdom. I'm not very good at it. That's me. He just chose to, because I didn't even apply for it. He just catapulted me. Because I'm not. Everything that is a shackle in your life, the Lord will release you and set you free in Jesus' name. Because, sometimes you really want to serve God. You know how we were saying, if you don't give bribe, somebody will offer you bribe. If you don't, you just have to bend. If you don't bend, then something, they'll make life difficult for you. We pray that day that God will change our nation for us in Jesus' name. That God will start changing each and every one of us. That's the starting point. He said, no man that worried entangles himself with the affairs of this world, that he may please him who has called him to be a soldier. That's what you were saying this morning. The little things, we don't let them preoccupy our minds, our lives, so much so that we don't see what is important. By the time we start to lose focus, then there is a problem. Of course, the heart of worship must be the heart that is bold and courageous in the things of God. Joshua 1:9 must be bold and courageous. I've said this over and over again. It takes courage to do the will of God. Am I right? It takes courage. It takes great courage. It's not an easy thing. It takes courage to do the will of God. There will be opposition and opposition and opposition. It takes courage to stand and say, look, this is what I want to do. You don't know. If people would just leave you alone, that would be enough, right? But it won't. They won't. They will make sure they ensure. What? Who are you? The rest of us are doing it this way, and you say you are not doing it that way. You mean you are better? If you are not careful, they will even set you up. I was listening to the testimony of who was listening with me, of Pastor E. Adeboye. He said one day God showed him in a vision that there were going to be two pythons. Showed him two pythons. That they were going to come to him. One was black with polka dots. The other one was yellow. He said, not long after that, a lady came to visit him in the office. As soon as the woman entered, God told him, that's number one. So he started praying. That one came and left. Then the second one came in. He said, yes, there's the yellow one. That's number two. As soon as the personal assistant opened the door and the woman entered, what did she do? She just lunged for him straight and held his head to kiss him. Because once it is done, she will be the first person to start going saying it outside. Say, our hand enter hand now. You want to see him? I know how you can see him. You start to say it. That's it. Because she has killed the giant. Nobody will kill you in Jesus' name. I'm not talking about just spiritual death now. I'm not just talking about physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death. That thing that would derail you and take away your testimony from you, the Lord will not allow it to overcome you in Jesus' name. He used to be a boxer. I hope you know that. Like, he used to be a boxer. He said he just gave her a push and she ended up in hospital for 2 weeks. You have to be courageous. So it takes courage to serve God. Otherwise, our intellect will not allow us. We will have to, dogmancy and things like that. Because you want to please everyone. Who wants to have an enemy? I don't. Who wants to fight anyone? Nobody wants to. You want to be that peace. So that when I appear, I say, Babake, nice man. He said, I like that. Yes, now. I enjoy that. Nice smile. He's a good guy, you know. My endorphins, you know, the chemicals in my brain will just begin to pour out and I'll feel good and I will smile. Sometimes you debate it in your heart. You just know that you have to do the right thing. And of course, one of the characters of the heart of worship is that the only condition for them to praise God is just to have the breath in them. The only condition is what? To have the breath in them, and they will still serve God. Elisha, do you know what? Elisha was on his deathbed. What was he doing? He was issuing decrees to kings. Tell them what to do. Prophesying. Even some of us, if we are sick, if somebody tells us we've got this disease and we are in hospital, somebody who burned that person to come and talk about church to you? He was on his sick bed that led to his death, yet he was issuing decrees. He was telling them, tell the king to, and they met it as so. Everything he said will happen was still happening. Praise the Lord. All that you need to keep praising God is just the breath of your nostrils to say, as long as I'm alive, irrespective of what is going on, I will still praise him. I will still magnify him. I will still glorify him. I will still serve him. On my deathbed, I will serve him all the days of my life. I'm not going to renounce him. Elisha, even though he had double portion of the anointing, you know, he so much served God to the extent that even his bones were raising the dead. Your light will not go out in Jesus' name. I said the light of your life will not go out in Jesus' name. For we walk not by sight, but by faith. You know what? Every condition will start to become favorable to you when you start to praise God. Did you hear that? Every condition of your life will start to become favorable to you as you praise God. You see, there's no option to it because you are praising God. It starts to just become favorable. Initially, it may look rough and so on, but you just know that he said, watch the righteous man, watch the perfect man. The end of that man is what? It's peace. He just have to line up. Okay. I will share one more testimony. He says, I was listening to Bishop Oyedepo when he was still in Kaduna. I don't know if I've shared this before. He was sharing the testimony. How he used to preach prosperity, 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 prosperity. So one day, maybe one of his friends came to him and said, look, my friend, stop preaching prosperity. Everyone in town is talking about you. You preach prosperity, yet you are pushing your Volkswagen car. Eh? Where would you stop? He said the following Sunday they had a service. The whole offering was like 10 naira and they gave it to a man who needed it to take home. He said that's not the lifestyle of a poor man. The poor man who has no hope, do you know what he will do? He will conserve his 10 naira. You have to start living that. Live the dream of what you know God will do in your life. If you are the type who is afraid to part with $50, you will never have the $10,000 you are looking for. Because you have limited yourself because you don't think it can get better. You can't even give people $50. Everything. And it doesn't get better. It will get better for you in Jesus' name. Oh my God. You know, we walk by faith and not by sight. John 5:25 says, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And everything that is dead in your life will come alive today in Jesus' name. He said, that time will come. Now is the time when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear it shall live. Finances will live.
The kidneys that are not functioning well will start to live right now in Jesus' name. Because the word is alive. I said the word of God is alive. It brings with it life. So lastly, the heart of worship commands victory. He says, but in order to have your victory, he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. In other words, don't tolerate him. Don't tolerate him. You remember I've told you before, I prayed to God. I said, please, Lord, let me be angry. Because I know every time I'm angry, my situation will change. If something is going on and I'm just, you know, patching it and it's okay, it's okay. It will just be there. That day, that holy anger rises up in me. And I say, Father, enough is enough. Please, Lord, deliver me. God will deliver you. Some people never know that things can be better than the way they are right now because they are just, you know, you are just satisfied with it and you just leave things like that and it comes year in, year out and it's the same. It may be your marriage, it may be your children. Holy anger, let it well up inside of you and say, Father, just change this situation. We are no longer passionate the way we used to pray before. You know the way you used to pray? I remember 1996, I was sick. A preacher, Pastor Adebayo, came to the stadium in Ilorin. That day, I just knew. Because the doctors, they done all the tests. There was nothing that they could find. And I decided I was going there. And I went to that crusade. I was weeping. And I'm telling you, I left that place healed. I don't need anyone to tell me I'm a doctor. I left that place healed. And that changed my life. We are no longer passionate. Let's pray. That's not it. No, it's true. Let it come from your heart. Let him increase and you decrease. Because you are living, truly, if you are a child of God, you are living on borrowed life. Because the life you now live is whose life? It's the life of Jesus. If you are living his life, then let him have it. Why don't we just rise on our feet? Commands victory. Your life automatically commands victory. When the worship is from the heart, your life automatically commands victory. There may be what look like temporary setbacks, but victory is sure. He has never been known to fail. He said, once I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed beg for bread. Say it. Say it until it enters your consciousness. You can be among the 1%. Because the money is better in your hand than in the hand of the heathen. Because it's, I believe, if the money is in your hand, you have compassion. You have the love of Christ. Because the Bible says, that the love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You will use it for the good of the kingdom and for mankind. Why don't you just lift up your hand and just say, Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for your word today. Above all things, give me a heart of worship, O God. The heart that worships you. The heart that lifts you up. Where you take preeminence. A heart of flesh and of humility. A heart that says God first, others second, I last. Give me a heart of worship, O God. A heart that desires what you desire and love what you love. I don't want to engage in activities. I want to be a true servant. Help me, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now you are going to pray. You say, Father, even as I choose to worship you, confirm your word in my life in Jesus' name. Lord, as I'm ready to worship you, confirm your word in my life. Every aspect of your word, confirm in my life. Every aspect of your word, as I've heard it today, confirm in my life. Confirm it in my life. From this Sunday school to this very moment, every word that I've had, confirm it in my life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lord, the hearts of your people are turned to you. Your lordship is declared. Your lordship is manifested. Lord, we are people who seek your glory. And we lift you up above measure. Father, be glorified, O God. Use our lives and make our lives expressions of your glory in Jesus' name. You are the light that light the world. Light our lives in Jesus' name. We start to glow. You see, let me tell you something. The Bible, the sun shines because it's willing to burn itself. We are willing to burn ourselves, oh God, that, Lord, your light might show forth in our lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Can we share the grace in fellowship?